This is Bigger Pockets Daily, where I read evergreen articles on real estate investing so you can still learn while you're on the go. If you just found the show on this Wednesday, welcome. And please tap the subscribe button so you'll get these automatically delivered to you every day, including weekends. Okay, almost time for the show. We'll get right into it after this quick break.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you can make sure your ride stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED lights, exhaust kits, turbochargers, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Managing your finances used to be a pain. It was either useless apps or overcomplicated spreadsheets.
Ugh.
But now, with Monarch Money, managing your money is easier than ever. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/bigger. Unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it easy to set up, customize, and use. You can even collaborate with your partner, family, or financial advisor at no extra cost to get a joint view of all your finances. Customize your dashboard, notifications, and budgets with a tap. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show right here will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/bigger. That's monarchmoney.com/bigger for your extended 30-day free trial. 2023 Housing Market Outlook and a Review of Last Year by Dave Meyer. It's finally over. The crazy, unpredictable, and just plain weird housing market of 2022 has ended. Though analysts, like me, will likely be studying the 2022 housing market for years to come, we can at least finally take a quick look back at what happened this past year and infer what might be in store for us in 2023. 2022 was a tale of two halves. January through May, June was one type of market, and July through December was a very different market. It's not possible to determine the shift's exact date, but it was within this time frame. The first half. Through the first half of 2022, we saw a continuation of the wild appreciation that defined 2021. Every major variable that influences housing prices was putting upward pressure on the market. There was strong demographic demand fueled by millennials reaching their peak home buying years. A decade of underbuilding contributed to a nationwide housing shortage. Inventory was almost non-existent, and of course, mortgage rates were historically low. But then, things changed. In March of 2022, the Federal Reserve started raising the federal funds rate, pushing up bond yields and mortgage rates. The change of policy actually spiked demand as home buyers and sellers rushed to transact before the full impact of higher mortgage rates were felt. This, combined with normal seasonality, allowed the party to continue and for prices to continue going up for a few extra months. The second half. Eventually, the impact of skyrocketing mortgage rates took hold. Already facing ultra-high home prices, higher mortgage rates priced many home buyers out of the market, and demand fell. When demand falls, inventory tends to rise. As inventory rose, sellers who were drunk on power over the last several years started to lose their leverage. Slowly, buyers started to have more options, and a bit of balance returned to the market, pushing down prices. Some of the decline since June is seasonal, but as of December 2022, prices are down almost 10% off their May peak, and a typical seasonal decline is 5 to 7%. The descent from the summer peak was deeper in 2022. It's worth noting that although prices are declining, they are not in free fall. Prices remain up year over year, and inventory has started to moderate. Mortgage rates have come down from October to December, and there are signs that the drop-off is becoming less steep. At this point, we remain in a correction, but not a crash. What will happen in 2023? Will we see a continuation of the downward trend we're in now? Will things get worse? Or could the market reverse? To me, it will again be a tale of two halves. I believe in the first half of 23, we'll see a continuation of the market we're in now. Sellers don't want to sell, and buyers don't want to buy. Of course, deals are still underway, but I expect sales volume to remain well below what we've seen for the last 7 to 10 years. Even though inflation is moderating, there remains too much uncertainty in the economy for the market to stabilize fully. Hopefully, during the first half of 2023, we will see inflation come down and get more clarity about what is happening with the global economy. But what really matters for housing volume and home prices is about one thing: affordability. If housing stays as unaffordable as it is now, sales volume and appreciation will stay low. If affordability recovers, I expect the housing market to stabilize and perhaps even see a modest recovery in the second half of 2023. It sounds overly simplistic, I know, but housing is just too unaffordable in current market conditions. Some estimates say that housing is the least affordable it's been in over 40 years. Until this changes, the housing correction is here to stay. The housing shortage and demographic demand haven't gone anywhere. As soon as affordability improves, I think housing market activity will resume. Will affordability improve? So affordability is made up of three factors: real wages, home prices, and mortgage rates. Affordability can improve if wages go up or housing prices and/or mortgage rates decline. So let's go ahead and take a quick look at if any of these things can happen. First up, real wages. So according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, real inflation-adjusted wages are down about 2% year over year, but have ticked up about 0.5% or so since September. Nominal, not inflation-adjusted wages is actually up a lot, but inflation is too high and wipes out all of those gains. Real earnings, which is real average hourly earnings, November 2021 was $11.21. In September 2022, it's $10.95. And then November 2022, $11. So real average weekly earnings in November of 21 was about $390.20. November 2022, $378.42. Although it's a positive sign that real wages have ticked up a bit, it's very modest. It is possible that as inflation moderates, real wages will go up, but I do find it unlikely that that will happen in a meaningful way. To me, concerns about a slowing economy will slow the pace of wage growth alongside inflation. Therefore, no real progress on real wages will be made. Now let's take a look at housing prices. All right, so one area where affordability is likely to improve is home prices, of course. Residential real estate prices will likely see year-over-year declines nationally, making homes more affordable. For affordability to really improve, we'd probably have to see prices drop more than 10%. And it's very unclear if that will happen. If prices drop at all, and by how much, it will depend very much on mortgage rates, which is what we talk about next. Mortgage rates can be confusing, especially recently. The Fed continues to raise the federal funds rate and has signaled they intend to keep doing so in 2023. Yet, mortgage rates are falling. What's going on here? Mortgage rates are not directly tied to the federal funds rate. Instead, it's very closely tied to the yield on 10-year treasuries. So, in a way, mortgage rates are more influenced by bond investors than by the Fed. What? Although bond investors are highly influenced by the Fed, so it's confusing, okay, I know. Over the past several weeks, bond yields have fallen for two reasons. First, inflation is moderating faster than expected, which tends to cause a rally in bonds, sending bond yields down. Second, there are fears of a global recession. These fears tend to prompt global investors to seek the safety of U.S. Treasury bonds, which pushes bond prices up and bond yields down. When bond yields fall, mortgage rates also tend to fall, which is exactly what we're seeing. So, mortgage rates may fall next year and end the year somewhere between 5.5% to 6.5%, down from the most recent peak of 7.23% in October 2022. Just a few more thoughts we'll wrap up for today. So, if my premise that the 2023 housing market hinges on affordability is correct, then there are two plausible outcomes for the second half of 2023. First, mortgage rates fall, along with modest price declines, less than 10%, combining to increase affordability during the second half of 2023. This would likely cause a bottoming of the housing market in Q1 2024, and then we'd start to see growth in the market again come early 2024. The other option here is affordability doesn't improve in 2023, probably due to persistently high inflation and mortgage rates. If that happens, the second half of 2023 will look like the first half of 2023, and we're likely in for a longer correction. In this scenario, we will probably see housing prices drop 10 to 20% over the next 2 years, and we won't see a bottoming of the market until late 24, early 2025. It's tough to know what will happen, obviously, given the amount of economic uncertainty. As of this podcast, I think the first scenario is more likely given the recent trends in inflation and bond yields, but both options are reasonably likely at this point. Unfortunately, the next 12 months are a little bit cloudy. At best. You made it through another episode of Bigger Pockets Daily. Did you learn something new? If you still have questions about this subject, jump onto the forums at biggerpockets.com/forum. It's like being at a 24/7 networking event without the business cards and awkward small talk. Otherwise, you know the drill. We'll have another episode waiting for you in the morning.